In the late 1880s, Loie Fuller was a somewhat successful American actress who performed dramatic roles, sang a bit, and played the piano. Her big showbiz break, however, came in 1891 in a play called Quack M.D. In her role as a young widow who gets hypnotized, Fuller was required to perform a music hall skirt dance, which was a form of entertainment very popular at the time in both New York and London.
It involved waving your skirts around to a nice little waltz tune.
Jody Sperling is a dancer, choreographer, and dance historian in New York City who says the ambitious Fuller transformed the straightforward skirt dance into an entirely new art form, and perhaps the first modern dance. She did it by turning her skirt into a flowing gown, extending her reach with bamboo rods under her gown, and then moving about the stage bathed in colored lights.
She had a very light, filmy silk costume, and illuminating that silk with color and then creating these undulating motions with the silk created captivating patterns that really entranced the audience.
What she did was weave in and out of the light, and she used the fabric and made designs in the air with it.
New York choreographer and stage director Shayla Karagos.
She was a very kind of small, dumpy, very plain-looking woman. But when she danced, it was a transformation because the costume extended her look, you know. And in one gown that she had made, she had 100 yards around the hem of the skirt. And if you can imagine how much silk that is, it exhausted her. She would sometimes, after her performance, fall fainting into the wings. She'd have to be revived.
Fuller's first creation, the Serpentine Dance, was followed by performances in which she evoked lilies, flames, seashells, and other creatures from the sea. And audiences simply went wild because, one newspaper reported, the stage lights shone through the robes and scandalously revealed Fuller's form. But Henry Sayre, an art professor at Oregon State University in Corvallis, says audiences were also captivated by how Fuller used what was still a novelty, electric light, in such an expressive way.
Fuller understood sort of the theatricality of light, the theatrical possibilities of light before anyone else.
Loie Fuller headed to Paris in 1892, arriving there about the same time as electricity. Her colorful dances became a big hit at the Folies Bergères, which had to institute matinees so that proper ladies and children could see her perform.
She felt that she was painting the live movements of her body with this magical, and it really was considered magical, incidentally, this magical electric light. The name the French gave electricity by 1900, and she was sort of the embodiment of it, was La Féerie Électricité, the electric fairy.
It may have seemed as if Loie Fuller was using magic to create unusual lighting effects, but in reality she was using color wheels, projected images, and devices which sent light up from below the stage floor. Fuller patented many of these technological innovations, and Sayre says she traveled with her own team of electricians, who were all sworn to secrecy.
And they would sit down sort of below the stage in what you think of really as the orchestra pit with these big arc lamps, and then move, according to her choreography, the colored gelatin globes across the front of the arc lamps. If you think about the way that she combines the technology of electricity with the very real sexuality of her dance, especially the sort of transparency of her gowns, there was this sort of techno-sexual energy that was the source of probably her fascination for most people.
Loie Fuller's influence on the Parisian art world swelled at the turn of the century. Dubbed simply La Loie by her admirers, she was adored by poets who penned odes to her, by composers who wrote scores for her, and by sculptors and painters who used her image as inspiration for their artwork. Art professor Henry Sayre says Loie literally became the poster girl for the Art Nouveau movement.
Toulouse-Lautrec did a series of prints, about 50 prints, each one hand-tinted in a different color and actually flecked with gold dust to reflect light. She had just an astonishing effect on the whole Parisian art scene.
Fuller's success brought many imitators, and she spent a great deal of time trying to protect her patents and taking legal action against her competitors. Dance historian Jody Sperling says Fuller also kept working to develop new technological devices to mesmerize audiences.
She was a technological wizardress. She was always looking to create the next novel effect. So she had a mirror dance where there were many Loie Fullers dancing on stage. She had the fire dance where it was as if the light, or as if the, you know, she was being engulfed by flames.
Fuller also wanted her gowns to glow in the dark, and she thought perhaps a new discovery, radium, would do the trick.
So she specifically befriended the Curies in order to learn about radium. They discouraged her from doing this because it wasn't safe, and they knew that. But she persisted in her experiments, and she, in fact, built a laboratory next to her house and was experimenting with different kinds of phosphorescent salts. And actually, there was an explosion, and she lost some of her hair. But she did eventually use these chemicals to create glow-in-the-dark effects, which, for the time, were incredibly novel and magical.
These days, the groundbreaking lighting techniques that once made Loie Fuller's dances appear magical are now commonplace in the theater. But modern-day dancers and audiences are still drawn to Fuller's work. Jody Sperling performs a Fuller-inspired magic lantern dance in which shifting images of the moon and the night sky are projected on her billowing costume. And in Seattle, the Chamber Dance Company at the University of Washington commissioned choreographer Shayla Corregos to create a dance to honor Fuller's work. Hannah Wiley is the director of the Chamber Dance Company and says audiences are still amazed when the dancer in La Loie whirls beneath colored lights.
From the very first image, the audience gasps and keeps gasping through the whole dance and just is wild by the end of it. And what tickles me is we're looking at cinema that has every wild effect in the world and electronically produced effect, and here is just some silk and electric light, and it's blowing contemporary audiences out of the water.
That enduring mystery, says Wiley, is the ultimate tribute to Loie Fuller, the dancing goddess of light who first enthralled audiences with her electric wizardry more than 100 years ago. For Studio 360, I'm Harriet Baskis.